Well, when the news came out that there were the two guilty pleas in a one-vote race, and given that the two guilty pleas came from relatives of the winning race, of course, we don't know for sure how they voted, but it's reasonable to say that they might have voted for their nephew. I thought it was striking how little outrage it seemed like there was and how little media follow-up it seemed like there was. It almost seemed like it was treated like a quaint issue. And we've heard a lot about voter fraud over the years, but this was a very demonstrable case that happened in Kansas City. You know, we always say that every vote counts. And in this case, it was true. And there were two votes that came from outside the district, and it swung an election. And I thought that was important.
And it's only Will Royster who lost the election who's tried to maintain this focus on that election and the other malfeasance that he believes might have occurred. Why is he still so focused on it?
In a way, I can't really blame him. I mean, he did have he can make a very reasonable case for the fact that an election was stolen from him. It was his first bid for public office. And I think for any political candidate, even for a house race in Missouri, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of your own time. It's a lot of your own money. My sense was from talking to him, I think he feels like people didn't care. He feels like authorities didn't investigate it. He feels like, you know, that the fraud was perpetrated and it didn't really make much of a splash. And so I think that's why he's still very vocal about this case, even to some detriment to himself, I would argue.
And does he believe that this fraud was orchestrated by the Rizzo campaign?
Yeah, I get the sense that he thinks that it was. I think one of the big questions and one of the things I would have really liked to talk to John Rizzo, who is now the state representative, is what did he know and when did he know it? And was he a knowing participant or did he just have no idea? I think that's the one question that kind of eluded the story. I couldn't get in touch with Mr. Rizzo, but to me, that's one of the big outstanding mysteries of this whole case.
And Royster is claiming that there was more voter fraud, or at least would like an investigation.
Right. So what we know is that two people have pleaded guilty. But what Royster says is that there was perhaps some other examples where votes could have been miscast. There were some ballots that turned up that didn't have judges' initials, which in most cases they're supposed to have from the voting booth. And there's also allegations from several people, election volunteers and election workers, who say that there was some electioneering going on within the booths. And a lot of those center around the Somali community in the Northeast neighborhood, which is one of many ethnic groups there. But that there were several who entered the polling places, and in some cases with John Rizzo yard signs and people directing others to, you know, vote for Rizzo. And anybody who votes knows that that's not supposed to happen inside the polling place. And in fact, there's supposed to be a certain distance outside the voting place where those kinds of conversations can occur.
And you report that this was reported by two different election judges, which you point out, one a Democrat and one a Republican, by the way.
Right. At least two. I think there were some other people who gave some testimony to a similar effect. And the election supervisors, or the election board is headquartered in Union Station, got calls during that day from folks who reported similar allegations.
So whose responsibility is it to investigate voter fraud like this?
Well, the authorities, in this case, we've had a federal investigation. The FBI took an interest in the case. And it wasn't until the first guilty plea came down in the case, which was John Mortina, John Rizzo's uncle. He pleaded guilty earlier this year to federal charges. And it was at that point that the Kansas City Police Department started to investigate. Will Royster, the records show that Will Royster had met with the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. And at that point is when the Kansas City Police started to take up the various allegations. And they investigated a lot of what Royster said had happened, such as some votes that appeared to come from vacant properties. Those didn't turn up anything, any wrongdoing in the investigation. But the Kansas City Police Department did find that the Mortinas, who were the two that ended up pleading guilty, did appear to commit voter fraud in that case was forwarded up to the prosecutor's office.
And that's when they again pleaded guilty to a state charge?
Right, to a state-level charge. They were fined and they're barred from voting. But it's worth pointing out that that was almost 3 years after the fact.
And your story starts out that Royster is now taking this to the Kansas City Election Board. What does he want from them?
The Election Board has made statements in the past that there were no voters from outside the district that voted in the race. And Royster wants an acknowledgement from the Election Board that there were indeed voters who cast impermissible votes. And he wants some acknowledgement from the Election Board that parts of the election had not been managed well. You know, one of the questions I had for Royster is, what will that do for you if the Election Board makes that acknowledgement? But that seems to be something that's important to him that he still wants.
Do you think this many irregularities are typical in any local election like this? Or is there evidence that there was either incompetence on the part of election officials or dirty politics?
There are a lot of allegations that dirty politics took place. It was hard for me to find direct proof of that. I mean, there weren't, from what I could find, a lot of smoking guns that pointed to dirty politics. A lot of suggestions that some of that may have taken place. There is some evidence in the record that it was an election that was run in a sloppy way. If the allegations of the electioneering are true, and there hasn't been in court or in official documents any suggestion that it was not true, that points to an election that was run in kind of a sloppy way.
In any sense, I don't know if you've looked at other cases like this, if that sloppiness is typical.
That's a hard question to answer because we do hear of a lot of allegations, and even going back to 2000 in Florida with the presidential election and then 2004 with the presidential election in Ohio, there are a lot of allegations. But as far as ironclad proof, resulting in convictions, we haven't seen too much of that. And that's what makes this case to me so striking, is the fact that we have people who've gone to court and they've gotten their wrists slapped. And it's almost a perfect storm, to use that overused cliche, because it was a one vote race and we have two votes that were cast impermissibly, not only impermissibly, but by a relative of the candidate who won by a single vote.
And now this case has been cited by Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach as being an example of the voter fraud he's trying to combat with voter identification laws. He points particularly to this case with the Somalis who were, it's alleged, they were directed by someone to vote in a particular way. He calls them Somali citizens. And I wonder, do you know whether they were American citizens or Somali citizens or both?
There's no evidence that I found that suggests that they were unregistered voters, that they shouldn't have been casting ballots, just that they were directed to vote in a certain way. And again, it's important to remember that we don't know how they voted. It's plausible they voted for Royster. I mean, Royster did try in court the Somali voting bloc in the Northeast. They were directed, according to these affidavits and some of the testimony from the election judges, to vote a certain way. We don't know exactly how they voted. We don't know that they should not have been registered. That hasn't emerged. There were Somali voters who were registered to vote in the race, and so far the evidence hasn't shown that there were votes that shouldn't have been cast.
This case presumably could fuel the argument that there is voter fraud happening in our elections. Do you get the sense that that might be some of the reason why people don't want to talk about it, or particularly Democrats don't want to talk about it, who tend to be against voter identification type laws?
Yeah, there's no question that voter ID laws, it's a partisan issue. It's something that the Republicans have pushed for, and it's something that Democrats in large measure have said it's kind of an invented issue by the Republicans. You know, without taking a stand either way, I think there is a reasonable discussion that could be held with regards to a race like this, where it is shown that it can occur. And it appears, at least in this case, to be as easy as filling out a registration card saying that you live in a certain address, even though the Mortinas were paying taxes on their property in Gladstone, which is in a different county altogether, let alone representative district.
Are there any repercussions? Have there been any sort of embarrassment for State Rep. John Rizzo now in the state legislature?
There was some discussion in a previous legislative session that there was a possibility that he could be denied a seat, which is a rare move, but there is the authority for that to happen. But it appears that the legislature, in terms of investigating this, has lost interest in doing anything like that. I mean, Rizzo ran again in 2012 without opposition and won, which I think has been taken by Rizzo supporters as evidence that there's support for him in his district, enough so that people wouldn't run against him. But, you know, as far as political consequences, it's hard to say. He's the minority whip. He's got a leadership position in the House. And so I would suggest that the political consequences haven't been severe for him, although there are those in the Northeast who speculate that this latest guilty plea may earn him an opponent in the next race.
Now, of course, both Rizzo and Royster are the children of former state reps, and we haven't mentioned this yet, but Rizzo's dad is Henry Rizzo, who's now a Jackson County legislator and seen as a big player in local politics. How is that significant here?
Henry Rizzo's an influential person in local politics. As you said, he's a power player, and that lends some fuel to Royster's argument that he was able to do some electioneering. Him and his supporters have been able to stifle some of the outrage, if you will, that appears to be largely absent from this whole case.
And you point out in the article that they represented maybe two different factions of the Northeast, Kansas City's historic Northeast community. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about who each candidate represented in that 2010 election?
Rizzo seemed to represent the old guard, if you will, of the Northeast, seen as the folks who'd been there for a while, who remember that his father, Henry Rizzo, had been a House representative for the district, and not just a representative, but a pretty influential one in the 90s, and that the Northeast neighborhoods had more political cachet in Jefferson City than they do now. And Will Royster appealed more to the new guard of the Northeast neighborhoods, the folks who are buying up some of those old stately homes in the Skerritt Renaissance neighborhood in Pendleton Heights and rebuilding some of those houses in some of the neighborhoods in the Northeast. That was who Royster counted on for a lot of his votes.
Interestingly, neither of those groups really represents the large population of immigrants and refugees in the Northeast. And I wonder if they're really involved in politics at all right now.
The diversity in the Northeast, you have a Vietnamese population, you have a Middle East population, you have a Somali population. It makes it difficult to campaign. You have to appeal to a lot of different groups and reach out to a lot of those different groups. And they do appear to be involved. But voter involvement as a whole in the Northeast has certainly dropped from where it was in the 90s.
How many people actually voted in that 2010 Democratic primary?
You have about 1,300, at least in that race for both candidates, because John Rizzo won with 664 votes and Will Royster won with 663. So that's a little more than 1,300. Although, interestingly, I did get an email today from someone who voted in that race, and they said that given the amount of negative campaigning, it was really a nasty race. And he told me that given the amount of negative campaigning that went on in that race, he opted not to vote for either candidate. He didn't feel like either one deserved to win.
It brings us back to that cliche, every vote counts, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Steve Vakrat is a reporter for The Pitch. His article about voter fraud in a 2010 election in the Old Northeast neighborhood of Kansas City is in this week's magazine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.